December 28 is the Feast of the Holy Innocent. The first reading is 1 John chapter 1. This is the message that we have heard from Jesus Christ and proclaim to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we continue to walk in darkness, we lie and do not act in truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrongdoing. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The word of the Lord. Dear family, because of sin, humanity fell into darkness. And this means, first of all, an incapacity to relate with God because we do not see his ways nor know him, but also it's an incapacity to relate with one another. And therefore, all the chaos that we see through history of killings and oppression, that it's so widespread because of sin. Now, in the fullness of time, God sends his only Son, who is light. And there is no darkness in him, only light, only truth. And through him, we can now, again, know God and be transformed. As a result, we can have communion with one another. Now, St. John tells us here three times that we need to acknowledge our own darkness, our own sin, and thus turn to the Lord and receive the light. If we pretend that we have no sin, then we make him a liar, we stay in our sins, and there is no transformation. And so it's an invitation for us to gaze upon the light and humbly acknowledge our total need of God to be able to have a future, to be able to be in communion with one another. Now let us go to the gospel, which is Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 13. When the Magi had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been said through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, as she would not be consoled, since they were no more. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, the first thing that strikes me in this Gospel is the openness of Saint Joseph to be attentive to the Lord. And this is his identity. He is a man of God, focused on God. And he is a true husband and truly father, even though he did not beget Jesus biologically. He knew his identity. Now, this is an example for us. God will not and cannot work in us unless we are attentive to him and know who we are and where we are going with him. Now, he takes Mary and the child to Egypt to save their lives. Egypt was, in the Jewish tradition, a place of refuge. And there was a large Jewish community there. But it was, for Joseph, a total change of life. And he takes this upon himself for the sake of Jesus and for Mary. This also is a lesson for us. If we are true men and women of God, we're willing to have our lives transformed, give up everything in order to fulfill the mission. There is a lot in this gospel to think about. Herod was a very cruel man. In fact, it's known because of history that he murdered his wife, his mother-in-law, and his three oldest sons. Why? Because he was paranoid about somebody taking over his kingdom. And so the murder of these children in Bethlehem is in character. Now, he had three sons who became rulers of different regions of Palestine. So after his death, Joseph would not go back to Judea, where Bethlehem is, because it was under Archelaus, the son of Herod. And this man was just as cruel as his father. He had killed thousands of people already. And so Joseph knew this was not a safe place to go, so he went back to Nazareth. Now, it's interesting because the name Nazareth in Hebrew is very close to a word that means the branch. And in Jewish tradition, the Messiah was going to be a branch from Jesse, who is the founder of the Davidic dynasty. He's the father of David. So Jesse, the father of David, and now a branch comes forth again from Jesse, and this is the Messiah, Jesus the Lord. Now, realize that in the Babylonian exile, the Davidic dynasty had been chopped off. There were no more Davidic kings from that time. That's 586 years before Christ. So over five centuries, there were no kings descendant from David until Jesus Christ comes, the Messiah, who assumes royalty because he is the true eternal king, but not in the ways of the world. And so, dear family, let us ponder all these things in our hearts today.